Konnichiwa.
Howdy-o.
I'm Leslie.
I'm Laurie.
And welcome to Sumo Kaboom, where we talk about all things sumo.
Yeah.
Which is different from the last 24 hours because we have been talking all about the eclipse.
Yeah, we had a full solar eclipse here, y'all. It was amazing. If you ever get a chance to go see a full solar eclipse, go. Like, drive the 5 hours.
Yeah.
Take the trip because it is worth your time. It was amazing.
It was truly inspiring.
Yeah.
It was so cool. But we're going to stop talking about the solar eclipse because that's what we've been talking about for the last 24 hours and talk a little bit about sumo.
Yeah. So today's episode, the springboard for it was a couple questions that we have gotten actually many times from listeners. One, how do you do your research? Where do you go to? And two, if you're a total newbie to sumo, like, what info do you need and where do you find it online? How do you get to all the stuff that you guys are often talking about on your podcast? So that's what I'm going to cover today.
Mm-hmm. And I am going to break down one of my favorite shows on YouTube, which is Sumo Food by the Futagoyama Stable. I'm going to just break down kind of what I love about the documentary series. It's kind of daily or every other day, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about it and how I've learned a lot about sumo by watching it.
It's kind of a sumo media podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And before we launch into it, I just want to send out a call for everyone to send us your information where you get your sumo and who your favorite sumo people are that are on Twitter or wherever they are, because we, hopefully next week or the week after, are going to try to do an episode on ultimate sumo fans, who they are and how they get so close to the action. So either send us recommendations or give us an introduction if you happen to know people, and we would love to chat with them and look over all of their social media to see just what's like sumo gems they have as far as videos and how into that circle they are.
Because honestly, we get a lot of our hard-hitting media from big sumo fans. For example, someone that we know who's, you know, a friend of us online, social media wise, has been at the sumo tour lately. Mm-hmm. And we got the hard hitting sumo journalism tip that not everyone's bum is like super tight. However, Tobi Zaru and Ura's are. She got up close and personal and she was like, I think you need to know this. Those are pure muscle. And she was sitting like two rows behind him at the tour.
And
so
that's
she knows
what Sumo Kaboom really cares about at the end
of
the day.
It is. So we do some research via social media. That's the end of that story.
All right. So are we ready for a news flash?
Yep.
All right. This week, we've got some news. I'll start with just some light stuff, which is Takeru Fuji will have his own parade in his hometown of Goshugawara. I think that's how you say it, Goshugawara, in Aomori Prefecture on May 1st, followed by a victory celebration in the evening. So he is being celebrated as the champion that he is, and he will receive the Citizen Honor Award, which is a big deal. And so I think that's kind of cool. I'm excited about him and he's getting all this great praise, which I love. Now, the next bit of news is like the biggest part of the news, which is, again, this saga about the Miyagino stable going to be like living and combining their forces with Isagahama. So on April 3rd, Hakuho and his wife, dressed in all black, very serious, they and Ishiura, they went to have a meeting with Isagahama Oyakata, and the meeting was about 2 hours long. And afterwards, the press was, of course, there, and Hakuho was interviewed, and he was said, I don't know how to describe it, but I'm trying really hard, and I want to work hard one day at a time. And I think he's talking about how he's going to move into this next phase of moving his entire stable over to the Isagahama stable. So Isagahama then said during this meeting, I think he gave him some advice and he said, okay, I think the first thing you should do under my tutelage is go on an apology tour. So Hakuho will be or has started going on an apology tour to visit all the parents of all of the students or the, you know, his disciples to reassure all of his disciples' parents that they are well taken care of and that he's going to put his best foot forward to be obviously more present and everything that's happened in the past, it will never, ever, ever happen again. So I thought that was really interesting. He's going on an apology tour and to alleviate their concerns.
Exactly.
If they're like, wait, so are you going to be around? Like, how's this going to happen? Because they did. They signed over kind of, these are young kids. A lot of these kids in these stables don't even go to high school. So they're there at 16 years old. How are they going to be protected? And their parents kind of put all their trust in a guy that has failed, you know, to overlook and you know, the stable, make sure everything is safe for them. So he's going on an apology tour. So that was interesting. The actual wrestler transition happened. All of the wrestlers transferred their belongings somehow on the 7th because they would officially begin.
They were trucked over.
They were trucked over.
Yeah.
And they would officially begin joint Keiko on the 8th. Which did indeed happen. Now, I read a couple of different things, but this is the only stable that has more than 30 in the rest of all of the other stables. In fact, they're closer to 40, but it somehow mentioned 34, but another article said about 40. So that may count the brand new kids who aren't even on the Bonsuke yet. So that's remarkable. And they are, I think, living together. I mean, it's amazing. But there was another interesting little article that came out from former Komusubi and Mongolian wrestler who we may not know. He's from years past. His name is Kyoko Shuzan. And he said this about Hakuho. And because there's been a lot of questions about how is this going to even work? And people think, oh, maybe he'll just quit and give up. But this guy was like, I don't think you understand. Other kids who come into the sport, maybe with wealth or whatever behind them, they have the option maybe to like just peace out if things get really difficult. They might have other options. But when you come from a Mongolian background, even though his parents and his dad was successful, he grew up still like not having enough juice, not having enough food on the table because it's a communist country when he was growing up. So he has a different sort of mechanism within himself that will say, I will not give up. No matter what you put in front of me, I will not give up. I'm not planning on giving up.
Mm, that's how you become a yokozuna.
And that's exactly how you have 45 yusho's. And it is true. And what was really interesting is, of course, he showed up in Mowashi on the 8th. All of the wrestlers, they started 30 minutes earlier. They went for 4.5 hours. He was in there the entire time in his Mowashi, which is not always common that he was there. He's like, look, I'll put on the Mowashi. Isagahama can run the show. I'm here to just show guys how to grab onto the Mowashi. So that he was extremely helpful. And then he stayed into the evening and he answered all the questions, talked to all the wrestlers. And the guys going in were like very tight-lipped. Coming out, you could see, and it was reported, it was extremely invigorating for all of them because Isagahama had said the same thing about those wrestlers. Tenda Nofuji came back for this. All hands were on deck for this practice. Everybody was so excited to be able to have these two rooms together.
Yeah.
And they loved the practice. They said it was hard and it was just everything they wanted. And all the Isagahama guys want the new challenge. And all of the Miyagano guys are like, we've got so much to learn from this powerhouse of a stable. At least day one, it's very successful.
That's
I imagine
great.
The poor guy who has to make chonkonabe said that he went to an insane amount of food that he has to make for basically that amount of guys. I hope he has a lot of help.
Like 50 guys.
I mean, it's nuts. But anyway, it's going to be pretty interesting. We'll see how it holds on, you know, this pressure cooker in week two or week three, but pretty exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. Yeah, I heard a quote somewhere from Hakuho after that day of practice where he said, well, that was invigorating. I haven't done that in a while.
Exactly.
That was great. And then I thought, well, that's probably the problem. If
right.
you haven't done that in a while because you've been on tour so often, that's probably the problem.
Probably it.
But I also hadn't thought about how that is going to affect his wife because Inoue Akata's wife is often very involved with a stable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't looked into exactly what she does for that stable, but I'm sure she's there all the time. So it would affect her.
I imagine she's going to be second in command to the Isagahama Inoue Akata.
I wonder. Yeah.
Okami-san.
I'd love to know more about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How that would work. Interesting. And what each one would do.
Exactly. Who knows?
Have you seen a photo of Mrs. Isagahama?
Yes.
I wonder. Yeah, I don't know anything about her.
Understated just like he is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She's perfected the sea cucumber, yes, slightly bored look as well.
I think you just don't notice her. Imagine there's a lot she does behind the scenes.
Sure there is.
They run so much of the show. But yeah, I haven't seen too much about her, but maybe we will.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
She's probably the one who's had to make sure everybody has a place to sleep and all how crowded it is and organize all of that. So I imagine her life was upended as well. So I imagine maybe
I'm sure there's
Mako's
people...
wife is going to be assisting in that.
Can you imagine the line for the bathroom?
No.
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 I mean, you know there's people sleeping down there on the doyo.
Yeah.
There has to be.
But what was interesting, though, is that the Isagahama stable, there was a time in which there were more than 30 wrestlers in there. So it must be a larger stable or mm-hmm. a stable that at one point housed a lot of guys. So that's kind of a cool thing. Like it can accommodate that many. It's going to be cramped, but it can accommodate that many people.
Or they're going to be like sardines in one large room. And as soon as one guy turns onto his right side, they all have to turn onto their right side.
Maybe. So that is all I've got for news.
Okay. Okay, let's start with the easy stuff, and then we'll sort of get into our personal favorites and where we go for our research. So if you are new to sumo, first of all, welcome. Welcome. We love the fact that you're here. There's quite a few websites that you'll need to find, depending on how far down the sumo rabbit hole you want to go. The most user-friendly, English-friendly website of them all is NHK Online, mm-hmm. NHK World mm-hmm. is what it's called. And this website plays a shortened version of each day of sumo with English commentary, which is super helpful for newbies. Each day is shortened to about 30 minutes. IRL, your sumo day would be like 5 hours plus. It's long. There's at least 5 minutes between each batch of matches, I should say.
And what is?
In a real sumo day.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
On NHK, you see all of that shortened to about 30 minutes.
You just use, like, cool people terminology.
IRL?
IRL. I was like, oh, I don't know that. Do people use that? Now I know. Okay. In IRL.
In IRL.
In real life.
That is right. This is still, to this day, my favorite way to watch sumo. And you get the extra edition of Sumopedia after each day,
yeah,
which I found really helpful when
yeah,
I first started watching.
Yeah, for sure. Plus, I like the commentators. They're great.
Yeah, the commentators on NHK are great. Sumopedia is this, they're educational shorts about sumo.
Yeah.
Right? About what you're seeing. Just little facts, you know, to just sprinkle in some tidbits of education.
2 minute chunks. So yeah. It's very little.
It's super, super easy. And NHK World Online, or Sumo, Grand Sumo itself has put out an app now that you can download to your phone that has great info on it as well.
Oh, I don't think I have that downloaded. I'm going to have to put it on my phone.
Oh, yeah. It's great. You can watch like individual fights. You can look up individual, like if you don't know who the guys are, you can really easily find out just a little bit of information on each wrestler. It's really great. So you can just go to the app store and look up Grand Sumo. It's on there. So NHK, Grand Sumo. The only issue with NHK on World Online, if you're in the US, if you don't sort of watch it in the calendar slot of time that they play
right,
it only comes on demand about 24 hours after each day of sumo. So you could very easily be watching all your sumo 24 hours behind.
Right. Or you could DVR the very first one, but it's like they're very slow on the edit.
They are. Well, they just take a day.
Actually,
that's not super. I mean, it is pretty quick.
It's 12 hours usually.
Yeah.
It's out by 10:30 in the morning our time, which
yeah,
is about 12 hours or whatever. Maybe 8 hours, but that's
yeah,
just not fast enough for me.
It's not fast enough for me either. We all want it to be immediately available. So that's just, you know, just something to know about there.
Little
okay,
do we know, like, it's actually Ikioi or somebody in the JSA
right,
who's doing all of those edits somehow, although it's NHK. But I would love for it to be, like, one of the retired wrestlers that's sitting there, like actually doing the edits of the day and then
awesome,
sending it to NHK. But that's not how it works.
If you want to go a little further down this rabbit hole of sumo, you need to find the JSA website and just Google JSA Sumo Association. It comes up as Nihon Sumo Kyokai. And it's got pictures, basic info on each wrestler, the matches, who they're fighting the next day. You can read it in English, or if you want to work on your Japanese, you can look at it in Japanese. There's info about the Sumo Museum, tours, tickets, all that sort of stuff. The Banzukei is on there.
Right.
So that would be your next step down the rabbit hole. If you really want to go down that hole of sumo and you're really interested in historical information stats, you need to know about the Sumo database. It comes up, if you just Google Sumo database, it's going to come up.
Yeah.
It's like sumodb.sumogames.de. I don't know what the DE stands for, but it's a sumo reference. That's how it comes up. And you can put queries into this database and get more information than you ever wanted or needed
yeah.
about historical wrestlers. And it's still, like, I'm still figuring out how this
yeah,
thing works.
Yeah, I don't exactly understand how to query everything because it doesn't always give me, but that's my user. That's my problem, not the database's problem. So sometimes I have a little bit of a hard time looking for the stats that I want, if it's real specific or if it's something from the past. It's not always, like, completely easy, but overall you can get a lot of information.
Yeah, you can search by year, by wrestler, by decade. Like, there's so much info on there. And I don't know who is keeping that thing together, but it's amazing.
Thank you if you are one of those people.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Now, if you want to watch sumo at different times than NHK, it's a little bit harder. You have a lot more options, but this is where the world of sumo changes a lot. You can go to Discord. You can also go to YouTube and probably just search for, like, the month, the year, what day it is, and you're going to find options. But these sites, like, sometimes you'll get a favorite, like Natto Sumo.
Yeah.
We used to watch on them all the time on YouTube because they edited it down to, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, super fast.
Yeah.
If you just wanted to watch it real quick. Oftentimes they're taken down.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
You know,
it's like pirated material that you're putting out into the world for people. And that, it's innocent in this way that, like, the people who are wanting to watch it, they would probably pay if they could have good access in the moment in their own way. But we don't, like, we cannot get any stream. We cannot get it on our cable. We have looked for, like, where we are located, it is impossible for us to get it in our cable package. It's not an add-on. And so we're sitting here going, we want more of it. So that's why we've watched these things. Otherwise, we'd pay for it, just plain and simple.
Yep.
But we can't. So that's kind of the way that goes. And because of that, they know that they want to be making money. But unfortunately, they cut out the enthusiasts in the middle who would just want to watch sumo in whatever way they can.
Yeah. My little tip or trick for you is, because these channels change a lot, just, you know, search for the Basho, but then make sure you check the live feeds, because what will often happen is these people will put up a live feed of the sumo for maybe 3 days, only 3 days,
right.
And then they'll take it down.
Right.
So you won't see it as a choice for a video on their channel.
Right.
You'll see it short term as a live feed.
Right.
And what a live feed is, it's the full live feed of sumo. So you're going to get like 5 hours of sumo with all the Japanese commercials.
Right.
And it's usually Abema TV.
Yeah.
Which is, it's kind of cool.
I like it because I
love
just like to watch Japanese TV for a while.
Well, I do too. And, you know, you'll have to fast forward through some things and, you know, it just takes a lot longer to get through.
Yeah.
But if you want to see someone's like full on, like 5 minute prep before they do sumo, it's a really cool way to watch it. So you'll have to go to YouTube or Discord for that. And there's probably other options out there. News-wise, what do you use?
Oh, well, I go to Nikon Sports. That's usually my go-to just because, and I'm, by the way, I'm always using Google Translate. So I prefer to go get the articles that are in Japanese. So even though I do think anything John Gunning writes for the Japan Times is incredible, but they have a paywall and I only want John Gunning's articles. I don't care about the rest of the Japan Times. So if that's up and I've got a like 10 articles, I will read as much John Gunning as I possibly can. But I usually use Nikon Sports, N-I-K-K-A-N Sports, because they have a whole sumo wrestling tab. But my Google Translate translates the whole page. So it is a Japanese, I go to the Japanese website. if I'm doing any sort of search for news, sometimes I will copy and paste the kanji and then put it in the search bar, and then it will send me to Japanese sites. And then again, my Google is translating. So English news sources are going to be far behind, and there's going to be hardly any articles. Sometimes you can just translate sumo wrestling news into kanji, put that in, and then it will pop up. It'll generate all the news sources about that subject or of the day. So that's usually how I'm searching for most things, is in Japanese. But I find that Nikon Sports is just the easiest for me to translate from.
Those are sort of the overall sites, things that you need to be aware of when you're watching sumo, if you're interested in sumo news. So now let's get to research, how we do our individual research. And I just made a list, and this is in no particular order at all, but these are the places where I tend to find myself going back to again and again for the research that we do. Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, is where I go first when I start doing research, both in English and in Japanese.
Yeah, I usually take the top, whatever his name is in kanji.
Yes.
As I read the English language one, and then I take the kanji, do the Wikipedia, and find the Japanese Wikipedia with that kanji. And then they give you more details,
like
blood type
more.
And favorite hobbies and weird stuff. They give you that good stuff.
It's so fascinating to me just how different those pages are in English and in Japanese. And also on Wikipedia, they give you at the bottom, like in the notes section, other articles about that person. So that's often, I'll go down to those footnotes at the bottom and start following those links.
Right.
Even if I can't read what the title is, I'll often click the link, follow it, then go through Google Translate and just start exploring that way. Yeah, if you've got the Japanese spelling of a name or stable, you can really fish around on the Japanese articles a lot through this way. All of the stables and heias are online.
Mm-hmm.
You can search for them with a random Google search and then use Google Translate to translate all the information about each individual heia. And there, you're always going to find a little something about the Oyakata, about the Oyakata's history, different coaches, the wrestlers, their hobbies are usually on there, as well as like their hairdressers. You can find out who they are. It's a really great place to go.
You could fill in a form if you want to be a disciple.
That's right.
And you could, it's like how to join the stable. There's a query for that.
So. Yeah. YouTube channels that I go to again and again and again, here in no particular order, Sumo Jason, Sumo Stu, Gagamaru's channel, and this one's mostly in Japanese, but YouTube has a great feature where you can change it to English automatically.
It's a little bit tricky.
Yeah, if you go to the gear.
Yeah, the gear thing, and then pop that up and it says auto-translate. Some of these you can't.
Yeah, but auto-translate.
A lot of them will auto-translate to whatever language that you want. And it's subtitles. And it's not always accurate, especially if the guys are mumblers, but you can still get a gist of what they're saying.
Yeah. Gagamaru's channel is great. I did just realize yesterday as I was putting this list together that his channel title, it's if you read katakana, like one of the best things about Duolingo is now I can slowly read katakana and it says Gaga Chaneru, which is great in katakana. That is the description of his channel. So you just get like little hits of, oh my god, I can read that now, as you're Duolingoing, which is great. The Sumo Kyokai channel has a little yellow bird on the cover on YouTube. It's all in Japanese. It's interviews. It's live streams. But again, you could turn that subtitle feature on and auto-generate the English subtitles. And oftentimes, those interviews are really funny and odd, like those strength training interviews and competitions that they do. You can often find retired wrestlers talking about, I don't know, like the superstitions that they do or they think of right before their bouts, or interviews about people getting ready to retire. That happens often. They'll bring them back on. Like, I just watched one the other day. It was Tokushoryu talking about, you know, his retirement stuff that's happening and how he feels in his body now that he's stopped wrestling and when he's going to start losing weight, because he's like, I can't start losing it until after my retirement party. Like, you find out like the inner thinkings of their mind, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you would never see in a basho. But it's cool to think that, oh, they're really thinking about what their body looks like, at least until after retirement, and then they make changes. Sumo Primetime, of course. Grand Sumo Breakdown. Sumo Mainichi. Kisebeya TV is a great one. Chris Sumo is another one that I'll often go to online. And, of course, the Futagayama Sumo Food channel.
Yes.
Which is a real slice of life channel that you're going to talk about here in a second. But let me just mention a few other things that I often go to in my research. You can often find older sumo fan magazines online for free. So we get some of our articles that way. Super fans are still my favorite way to get like karaoke clips, fan event footage, charity events. This kind of stuff I'm often finding on Twitter and stuff like that. Japanese fan websites, Japanese newspapers like Asahi Shimbun, Japanese Times, the Tachi-ai blog online. And it really depends on what we're searching on. You know, sometimes if we're looking at clothes or music, we'll cast an even wider net and we'll just have to come up with something that I'm sure I'm forgetting on this list. I just want to say there's often many other things that we'll find in our research, but that's enough to get you started. At least if you haven't heard of things like the Tachi-ai blog online, you need to go online and find them. So let's get to this cool sumo food channel.
So one thing that I really, really, really have loved, and a lot of people have sent this to me and said, have you seen this? And I'm like, yes, of course I've seen this because it's truly great. And the Futagayama stable has a YouTube channel called Futagayama/sumo food. And it is a YouTube channel that features basically the daily lives of wrestlers, but also what they're eating. This channel has over 239,000 followers. So I know that it's being watched a lot. And what's great about it is their content is consistent. It's like every day. It's really cool. And not always every day, but sometimes it's every 3 days, but it's really a lot of content. So I kind of want to break down what you might see in an episode like this by perhaps the latest one that came out like yesterday, which was titled Osaka Dormitory Room Tour, Pork Belly Festival, Pork, a Fried Pork Belly, Pork Belly Cream Stew Pot. That is the title. And it really is just like a behind the scenes look at the wrestlers of the Futagayama stable. Now, the Futagayama stable is a stable of wrestlers, part of the Dewa Naomi group of stables, and it was established in 2018. But of course, that coach who was a former Ozeki, he branched off from the Fujishima stable and he took a couple of a few real low rankers with him. And now he has about 14 wrestlers. And you can see all of these wrestlers. And I think some of them may have been the ones he brought with him. So he's only really been establishing this stable for 6 years, which is really young when you think of his stable versus someone like Isagahama, who's 64 years old. And then you go, Isagahama has like 6 or 7 sekitori. And this Oyakata, Futagayama Oyakata, has 1 sekitori, which is Roga. And then he also has another one who is kind of the star of this series. And his name is Nabatame. And he was Makushita 5 and just, I think, got the bump up to Juryo. And what's really, really fun is this guy is this delightfully cheeky kid, about 22 years old. He's a total character.
See the one with glasses?
Yeah. And he looks like a baby. He has these beautiful, like, round cheeks and these beautiful full lips. He is very funny. And I guess the camera people who are outside people, they're documentarians. They're not any wrestlers doing this. Sometimes some footage looks like it's their own footage that they've submitted. Like if they're in a restaurant or something like that, I've seen some close-up footage of looks like camera footage from them. Most of the time it's a documentarian who walks around this whole place all day long and asks these guys questions. I haven't seen it on the official Bonsuke that he will be in Juryo, but I'm hoping that is true. I think it's going to be interesting because Roga in this whole series is very removed. And he is their top dog. He has his own private room and they kind of treat him. He's very revered. He's hardly ever on camera. He'll be on a little bit and they bring him out for when he's eating. He eats at the front of the table with the Oyakata. And then this other guy who's about to get the bump up, I think, to Juryo. I don't know, as the channel moves forward, if they'll remove him in that way, like make him a little bit more distant.
Yeah.
But it features mostly the youngest kids and them preparing food for the stables.
Yeah.
And it's just completely delightful because you can see how they all live together. and you see all of the personalities. And each episode could be 30 minutes, could be more than that. It could be during a tournament leading up to it. They have on the channel all these different categories. You can watch them at a restaurant. You can watch them at training camp. You can watch them. There's a whole series on holidays. There's a whole series of just sumo daily life. And you can kind of peek into their life in that way. So I'll kind of break down all the things you might see. You do see the Okami-san come in every blue moon. Every once in a while, she'll come in and double check with the youngest wrestlers what they're making. So they do show sometimes practice, but it's not a majority of the episode. The majority of the episode is them just talking about sumo life while they're preparing food, and then an ungodly amount of footage watching the guys eat, which is actually really, really hard because the amount of rice and udon noodles and ramen that they shove in their mouth, it's close range.
Yeah.
And it's an intense amount of food, which actually for me was the most shocking, is just to see them eat just an ungodly amount of food and the long shots.
Yeah. And the slurping.
The slurping. It is solidly each episode is 10 minutes of them eating.
Yeah.
But I think that is truly the real peek into how they do the food training.
Yeah.
You can see a little bit of Keiko. You can see them bust it out, but we've seen that footage before. You never really see them struggle through meals, and you really see these guys, especially if they're new and they're young, the food training. You see the oyakata be like, you can eat more, and that you can just see their eyes be like, oh my God, how can I eat more?
And well, then, and just the sheer amount of food that they're making, the size of the pots that they're making the chanko in, I just think that's enough to feed like 50 people.
Right.
And there seems to be only like 20.
The 14.
14.
14.
Yeah. And I'm like, that is a lot of
food. It's nuts. And there's like two different teams of chanko teams and threes. And then those are the low ranker guys. And they have learned about 7 hot pot recipes. And then there's other things. And they kind of learn from each other. So the Okami-san isn't in there all the time. The only time I saw the Okami-san who showed up like regular is they had a guest who was like this real handsome former a Japanese actor who's real handsome.
Yeah.
And he showed up because this is so Japanese and weird. And I love it. He had kind of given up his actor life to go live in the mountains and shoot boars. And so he had killed a boar. And then he was like, what do I do with all this boar meat? So I'm going to go train with the guys for 2 days and then at the same time cook boar over the next 2 days. And of course, Okami-san, like all of a sudden, like was like, oh, hi, I'm here all the time and I'm here in the kitchen to help. But she was clearly flummoxed by this handsome Japanese guy.
Yeah.
That's a famous actor. So there's also weird things like that you might see. But the guys know the recipes and they learn from the guy who's been there the longest how to do this. And if you think about the miracle that this is, they've taught a 16-year-old how to properly prepare food.
It is
amazing.
And
they've learned from each other. Like, if you give any 16-year-old kid some chopsticks and some pork belly and say, fry this up, how would they know to season it with ginger, soy sauce, mush it up with their hands, and then put it in potato starch, and then get the oil to the right temperature to fry it? And I mean, it's nuts how they've done that. But you can kind of see, this is where the training comes in.
Yeah.
These young guys learn how to cook at such a young age.
And they're tasting each other's food. That's
and they'll be like, this isn't right. This needs
could
more
you taste this? Is this cabbage done enough? Is it too done? Is it too crunchy? What's it like?
Yeah.
It's great.
You really get to know these kids that you would never know. Soga, Soma, Maikiru, Wakamiyabi. You would see these young guys' personalities, and some of them literally, like last night's episode, were talking as they were cooking, and they had this like book tour lady come through, and he's like, I'm 16, I quit after junior high, I've come here. You really realize they are these fierce wrestlers in the ring. They look big and tall, but they're just 16-year-olds or 18-year-olds, and they're so young and so innocent. And after this, they go and play video games, and they might go out and have an hour at the gym because that's their free time, but they don't get any time to do anything. So most of the footage is them just being friends. And sometimes you'll see them holding hands like brothers. Like two of these guys are actually brothers, but the rest of them come in like in sumo spirit and they get to know each other. And it's a really beautiful friendship, but also at the same time, the toil of all of it is amazing. And you see the Oyakata as well. He is very much in every episode. So it's really a fun thing to watch. I watch it sometimes before I go to bed because I fall asleep to it. But I hope you check in and give these episodes a chance because I think you'll understand a lot more about these sumo wrestlers. So that is it for Sumo Kaboom this week. We will see you next week.
And don't forget to let us know if we've missed some sumo media that you have found and you love. And if you have favorite super fans that you want us to know about, please let us know. You can email us at sumokaboom@gmail.com or drop us a message on Instagram or whatever social media you use.
That's right. Until then, I'm Leslie.
I'm Laurie. See you later.
Bye.